Blog Talk Radio.
Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Hope everyone's doing well, and I hope you're having a great week so far. Hey, Naomi. Hey, Pam. How are you both?
Hello.
Hello.
Doing good.
Very cool.
Oh, silence.
Yeah. They say it's golden. We should do it. Well, Naomi, tell us all about tonight's show.
Yeah, well, tonight we have the artwork of Frederico Infante. I don't know if it's Infante or Infante, but he's a Chilean painter, born in Chile, in Santiago, Chile. And, a young artist discovered in 2014 when he was studying in New York City. And, he uses quite a unique kind of painting which involves putting in on layers and layers and layers of paint and then scraping it off. you know, scratching it away. He doesn't start with a vision. The vision comes to him, you know, and then he looks at what's left after all his scratching away, like the pain and the, he wants to create like this dreamy atmosphere, you know, and then he'll paint a subject. You know, usually a lone figure or something, and something from nature, or, you know, that has a dreamy quality. What he wants is to make people, he doesn't want to make people, what he says is he doesn't want to paint his personal story. What he wants is to tell universal emotions throughout his painting. So it's like, you know, taking away the layers of a dream one by one, and just going into a dream-like atmosphere, and you know, you pulling away what you want from the different interpretations from the artwork. So yeah, he's quite popular all over the world now, and so I found his creations to be quite thought-provoking. So I thought it would be, delve up some quite interesting poetry to have him. So, so that's why I featured him tonight. So really looking forward to the poetry.
Right. Well, it sounds like fun. So let's see now. I'm going to ask each of you what's new, and then we'll bounce out to the poetry. Pam, what's new with you?
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Nothing exciting. It's just been raining. My daughter did bring me a bag of flaming hot beef jerky, and that was really yummy. Took a couple of naps today, got some stuff done, you know, just a usual typical day, all good. How about you, Phil? What's up with you?
Not a damn thing. You know, I dinner tonight. Wanted to nap 15 times today. I only got about two, and I only took one. I wanted two. But I got a good hour between 8:30 and 9:30. I was like, yes.
Yeah, we're supposed to have sunshine tomorrow and Thursday, but then it's supposed to be back up to like an 85% chance of rain throughout the whole entire weekend.
Well, it sure beats snow. That's the only positive thing I can say.
Yeah.
Sure. And Naomi, what's new with you?
I just have to say on that comment on snow, you know, we had snow Sunday night into Monday, and, you know, and today, you know, it's Tuesday, so, you know, yesterday the snow was melting away, and today there was a couple of neighbors outside with their lawn mowers cutting the grass.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
Well,
and you know, the grass did, you know, because it didn't have time to grow. But you know, it's crazy to go from snow covered lawn to, you know, a lawnmower. You know, it's like, and I was there, oh no, you know, oh, this is gonna start. You know, I just stopped shoveling, and now I'm gonna start, you know, mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
I did get a new cat. Yeah, you know,
you?
Because because it was so sad. It was a you know, I love that cat. Oh my gracious, you know, and she got out, and she drowned in one of the neighbor's pools, unfortunately, and I cried for about a week. And then, you know, but then you know, after like a few weeks there, well, you know, I said I was really frustrated. I said, no more pets. And then, you know, I saw this picture, this little kitty, and I went and got her, got him. So it's a male this time. And, yeah, I don't regret it. He's so cute. He's so lovable and made himself right at home.
He's home. He's got his home. That's where we go.
Oh, yeah.
They keep you company. They do. Pets keep you company. I get it.
Yeah, and no outside for this one. You know, I'm going to keep him in the house because I don't want that to happen again. So unless he slips out, you know, but, you know, I'm going to be extra careful. Yeah, because that's hard.
Understand that.
Absolutely. Get so attached to them.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. I was sad when I heard that because what a thing to deal with. It's never easy.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm glad you got a new kitty. He'll keep you company. Keep you out of trouble. He'll keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. My kids were growing up, they wanted a cat, and I kept going, No. My daughter went to her friend's house and came back all in hives. I said, no cats in this house. You know, maybe so my daughter got older and she goes,
but I'm not really allergic to them, Mom.
I said, well, you can have one in your house. Because all I can see is having a problem here. You know, never bring a pet in and then have to turn around and get rid of it right away because somebody's allergic.
That's it. Yeah. Hmm.
Absolutely. So, that's good. That's a good note. And what is your critter's name? So we know who we're talking about.
Oh, well, it's French. So it's, if you, Pam, what was the name of your contest with the, Scribbles? Yeah, it would be that. It would be Scribbles, his name, but in French, Gribouille. And not Scribbles in English. Yeah, so I call them Scribbles. Yeah, because he has long fur and it's all like kind of fluffy, you know, and it's not like, you know, anyway, he's really furry and gray with white and black. So I call them with notes of silver in there too. So I just call them Scribbles. So. Yeah, kind of cool name. And he runs around wild like a bunch of scribbles anyway all over the floor. So.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. Okay, now I'm going to be quiet. And whenever you're ready, Naomi, do your thing.
Yeah, okay. So I put up And I put up the first. I have a few carryovers from my last contest, which was the black and white and red contest, which I had artwork there, black, white, and red. And, so I have the first poem up by Peter Solway, and I'll give that one a read. It's called Howling Wolf, and it goes, lunatic ghosts electric, charged by antic batteries, snake venom of antidepressants, fangs of electrodes reconnected, all with voice again. Moses to squirt biblical semen, Madonna's catonic retirement, nurse injections to do the rounds, turn down the television, slow the trolley of day room. But evening fierce with howling, barred window open, fat curtains blowing, weird with arctic suggestions, wolf shivering, mate wanting, dungeon in the basement, God not watching serial television, all the Nordic sagas of cure, an epic of nonsense, whilst lonely wolves keep howling at the moon. Dr. Electric to return, write something. End poem. And, you know, I saw, when I read this first, I saw, you know, a psychiatric ward. And, yeah, just, you know, everything that goes on in that, it's on that psychiatric ward, you know, just that, it just took me to that place, you know. I don't know, it could be the antidepressants in the beginning, but just the whole way it went around and around, it just created these impactful images in my mind, you know. I saw a bunch of these lonely people caught in the claws of depression, and yeah, and you know the you know Dr. Electric, you know the when they used to give the what do you call those electroshocks to
yeah,
the patients? Yeah. So that's, you know, the image that stayed in my mind, you know, the howling wolves, you know, these people that are isolated in their own minds, you know, howling, you know. So that's what I got from it. I don't know your take on it, Pam. What were your thoughts?
Well, my first thought was when I first read it earlier today was that, yeah, it does have amazing imagery and metaphors and definitely hard-hitting and edgy lines. And I thought it was an excellent write on the noise made when human nature gets out of control. But then as I was listening to you comment and I was looking back at it, I started to see that there really is that whole idea of an insane asylum. The past, how in history there was a lot of experimentation and a lot of lack of understanding of mental illness,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of different approaches, some which have stood the test of time, and some approaches which obviously were neither beneficial or, you know, in any way positive or good for the patient. I did like Wolf Shivering Mate Wanting Dungeon in the Basement, God Not Watching Serial Television. I thought there was a message, you know, in there with the idea of a God that has turned their back, or a society, like almost as if God is the representation of a society that has turned its back on the mentally ill. So, excellent writing, very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful metaphors and a very powerful and gritty piece by Peter Solway, so bravo. And for the next one, I'll put up a SoundCloud right away by Xylophonic Blues and Death at the Crossroads.
Here we go.
Death at the Crossroads. Overhangs. Ethiopian occupations draw consideration in the boulevard. Roughest backroads. Microcosm of caution. The world's social orders incite simple but skilled stimulation. Air-kissing hands tenderly wiped the veered-off alternate routes to the dirty gray choreographing coagulation among zebra camouflage. 2. Black ink, sea deep, dark azure, irises dance enchanted around the whites of checkerboard eyes. Figures of obsidian ivory lined up flawlessly on their individual sides. Garnets, girdled corset, waving a hand over the board. Molten fireflies, rivulet ebbs and streams, picking up and losing ground like waves upon a shore. Brick pavement, jumping his own line with a knight bathed in velvet cloak. 3. Train ramps looked out over the emerythine street. Rail bumps gazing into the void people's lives underneath. Viaducts unsafe, forceful drive. caveat emptor. Move a man is shot. Areas are churned to mud and blood. Pawn back streets are learned and misused. Knights skirmish a glorious dance, an overwhelming hue. Flanked by castles, strengths are improved upon and pressed forward. Conversely, content the developments colorful against the differentiating board. 4. Somewhere the world is weary, and the land is barren except for the debris of war. Homecomings corrupted few and self-contradicting. Rising out of the grave, sprawled over the soil, maroon pale roses drain modern in these shadows. 5. Stalwart moments, too late, blotting monochrome heartbeats as a scalding brand seared the white scars of pendulum's time. Placenta, rhyming for the morning news cycle as the headlights moved off puddles. Tunnels with headlamps, torques specked the kilometer, long stars in my skin. 6. Veins and metro capillarity thrust in and out. Turnstile ventricles boarding underground blood cells. Rock wall stairs reflect edges vermilion obscures over the electric. A singular raven at the intersection getting up will be birds thumping against the glass. Chameleons painted comet of rubies moving geopolitical settings. Braille strings the needle of a bad dag sun. End poem.
What amazing. You know, I read this earlier. Well, of course, I read it, the week that the show was on, and then I read it again before, you know, today, before this show. And, you know, it neither times did it have all the impact that it did just now, hearing, the poet read his own poetry. So, wow, it just reflected a whole new meaning into the poem and a whole new impactfulness, that SoundCloud. So that was just amazing to hear that. So just thank you so, so much for that SoundCloud. And yeah, you know, I there's so many visuals, impactful visuals and metaphors in this. I get the idea of a big heart, you know, a big bloody heart with all its vessels and all its, and it's just beating there, you know, and that's the city. And, but, you know, there's so many wonderful, wonderful, which one was it that I just I thought it was amazing? Well, there's so many that are amazing, but, you know, too late blotting monochrome heartbeats as a scalding brand seared the white scars of pendulum's time. Placenta rhyming for the morning news cycle as the headlights moved off puddles. Tunnels with headlamps, torques, the kilometer-long stars in my skin. I really like that one. And then the number 6, too, you know, with the veins and the metro capillarities and the ventricles there. Just an amazing ride all the way through, to that artwork. Just amazing. And what did you think, Phil? Hello, Phil?
That's what I get. See, I played an audio and put myself on mute. Happens every time. You would think I would catch it by now. I thought that this was really incredible imagery in each one of the stanzas. I was like looking and going, yeah. But I have to say, I think the one that really grabbed the feel of the image to me was 6. Veins and metro capillarity thrust in and out. Turnstile ventricles boarding underground blood cells. Rock wall stairs reflect edges. Vermilion obscures over the electric. I think when you look at the image, you know, you can see that the roadways are the veins leading into the city, you know, in all different directions, in all different places. So I think it was really well captured in this. But otherwise, I mean, I have to say each stanza really had its own, imagery that was wonderful. But I grabbed six because I really thought it just captured the image itself. But nicely done, and great job there, Xylophonic Blues. And yes, I agree with Naomi. There's something about hearing you read your own work really brought this to life. So nice job.
Absolutely. Yeah, and yeah, me too. Like I said, I really, thought number six was amazing too. But, you know, like you said, Phil, you know, it has amazing imagery all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think, Pam?
You know what? I agree. First of all, it is always great to get a recording from a poet reading their own poetry. Wonderful imagery throughout, powerful lines. He really paints with his words a picture of the pulsing, bleeding life within the urban landscape. And I really like the emotional impact of the fourth part, but also the imagery of train ramps looked out over the amaranthine street, rail bumps gazing into the void, people's lives underneath, viaducts unsafe, forceful drive, caveat emptor, move, a man is shot. I mean, it's really within those lines, there's it makes so much impact painting that visceral and violent picture of a people torn apart within a society. So excellent writing, very well done.
Absolutely wonderful comment there, Pam. And yeah, very impactful and very, you know, wonderful, wonderful, right? I can't say that word. That's a word. Xylophonic or Xylophonic Blues. A wonderful, wonderful, right? And so the next poem I'm going to put up is by Shalini Krish. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and read that one.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to. All right. This is The Poinsettias Are Flowing by Shalini Krish. Soaked in arboreal reveries, the poinsettias are flowing through exaggerations created by reflections, the untamed illuminations gracing parchment of poetess between inside and beyond. When the neutral jungle of reality gets overwhelmed with garish jasmine and striking crows, a thirst grows from within for the lifeblood, a cappuccino to dissolve and an overdose to unleash the poinsettia petals to touch the soul of reality that never submits an urge to feel the actuality through dreams, meaningful and meaningless. Wanderers seek salvation in wandering through mirrors of ethereal stoop to experience the unattainable, to experiment the irreversible, sometimes through a portrait on beach sand, sometimes else pondering a child's smile. The poetess and muse meld in a mirage shard. The humble sky accommodates in the light of craft, and she becomes the focal point of master's art and poem.
Wonderful, wonderful read there, Pam. And yeah, I really, really like this write, you know, and you know, she becomes the focal point of I like the last sentence. She becomes the focal point of a master's art. And I like how you used the flowers through this, and I'll comment more. But, Phil, what did you think of this, right?
Again, like the last piece, this is full of wonderful imagery all the way through. I was kind of trying to pick which one I liked, but I liked each one of these. So I'm going to go with the last one. Wanderers seek salvation in wandering through mirrors of ethereal stoop to experience the unattainable, to experiment the irreversible. Sometimes through a portrait on beach sand, sometime else pondering on a child's smile. The poetess and muse meld in a mirage shard. The humble sky accommodates in the light of craft, and she becomes the focal point of master's art. That's a great stanza there. I mean, I really like how it was written. I like how this was brought to life throughout. You know, I mean, it's just a very well done piece. So thank you, Shalini Krishna Kumar. I think I said it right. Scares me.
Absolutely. Well, wonderful comment there, Phil. And I agree, you know, wonderful. I really liked too I felt all the powerfulness in those lines. Wanderers seek salvation and wandering through mirrors of ethereal stoop to experience the unattainable, to experiment the irreversible. It's like you want to experience this, you know, you want to attain the unattainable. You want to reach out and just seize, like they say, seize the day. There's something about this poem that's just, really, really riveted towards me. And, just like a message of hop on the wagon and go for it, you know, and just explore your surroundings and go for what you want and just seize it. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really like the message in this one and the imagery and metaphors and how it did speak on that idea of wanting something, the desire to experience something extraordinary. I thought this had such great lines all the way through, but I especially like wanderers seek salvation and wandering through mirrors of ethereal stoop to experience the unattainable, to experiment the irreversible, sometimes through a portrait on beach sand, sometime else pondering on a child's smile. And I also like how it speaks to me on the idea that poetic inspiration can come from so many different places. Sometimes it's the small moments in life that are so beautiful and so captivating that they wake up the poetic muse within. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And just picking up our next poem here and dropping it in. And hello, Robbie, and hello, Quicken, just joined us. And glad to see you on the board. And we have Halt by Derp Derp. And Phil, your turn to read, my dear. I don't know if you're reading, Phil, but we don't hear you.
Oh, that's because I muted myself so I could cough my head off. Okay, here we go. Oh. Can I move forward with my life? I can't. There's a sign in front of me. Although I could do it so much and go, I don't want to break the rules because it's there for a reason, always for a reason. But if I went, my life would change. I'd be happy at last, and I wouldn't have to live in misery. But it's here for a reason, always for a reason. I can't go back, only forward, and I already feel that this is the end for me, and only death awaits. only death. End poem.
And great read, Phil. And you know, I think that stop sign, you know, with the and the go no further. I'm guessing that's the prompt. And you know, a wonderful interpretation of that prompt, a very emotional charged piece, and you know that we really feel it. Not any fluff in this one. It's just straightforward. You know, can I move forward with my life? Starts off with a question right up, you know, and I can't. There's a sign in front of me. Although I could do it so much and go, I don't want to break the rules because it's there for a reason, always for a reason. And, there's all these questions and all these thought-provoking lines. And, of course, you know, to finish off with only death awaits, only death, of course, you know, that's what, you know, death awaits everybody. You know, that's how we'll all end up in the end. But very emotional charged piece, you know, very sad and, heartfelt. And what did you think, Pam?
It definitely was a heartfelt write. I like that one word title, Hold, and how there's this message within the poem of the importance of pausing, assessing a situation, you know, before moving forward. And and also that how he writes on the fact that we all eventually do have to move forward. We're all heading towards the same ending, but it's just a matter of the path that we're taking along the way to the finality of life and towards an unknown future. And I really like, but if I went, my life would change. I'd be happy at last, and I wouldn't have to live in misery. But it's here for a reason, always for a reason. And I like those lines because I think change is something that we all fear and we all pause when it comes to realizing that we have to make that decision to make a change. But then when we look at it with the possibility that whatever it is going to be is better than the situation we're in the moment, then, you know, that is gives us something positive to look forward to. Or even just looking at the fact that, you know, change can be a good thing. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I see that, you know, and that second stanza, like you're saying. And yeah, change, you know, often, well, for me, a change was always a good thing. I don't know about other people, but you know, of course, you have to assess, you know, all the possibilities before going for it. Depends on the change you're making. But I think this poem really addresses it, you know, that question in a straightforward way. Like you said, Pam, you know, it addresses, you know, the line that we take in life and the decisions that we make and how we move forward. And what did you think, Phil?
Well, you know, I thought this was a great piece, well-penned and relatable in a lot of ways because, you know, we all hit those times in our lives. I love the first stanza. That was the one I chose to quote here. Can I move forward with my life? I can't. There's a sign in front of me. Although I could do it so much and go. I don't want to break the rules because if there's a reason, it's there for a reason, always for a reason. I think, you know, I looked at the author's notes and it said it was a stop sign. And I kind of got that feeling with the piece itself. But, you know, sometimes, just sometimes, we have to kind of look both ways, look across. If there's nothing coming, sometimes you just got to break the rules because you just got to keep yourself moving forward. You can't let a stationary object just stop you. You know, you have to kind of make a choice and a decision and go with it. So, you know, I thought that was clever. I thought there was a lot of great food for thought in there. And I thought it was very well expressed. So thank you, Derp Derp. Good to read you. Hope to see you again soon.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Phil. And yeah, and I grabbed, we're going to drift into the new contest now. And the first one up by Just Michael. It's called Your Wildflowers, and I guess it's my turn to read. So, no flowers linger by the garden gate after the ice-cold winter. My gloves still lie in the mudroom after these many months collecting dust. Believe it or not, I still remember the day we planted seeds on hands and knees and planned for a happy future beneath blue, cloudless skies. Most flowers wither and fade as seasons change, but the wildflowers you planted deep in my heart continue to bloom year after year, despite aging parents and two kids in school, and all those demands which drag my attention away from you. End poem. And what a beautiful write this is, you know, that love, you know, that growing old together, still in love. Wow, you know, the way that's just written, you know, it's just amazing. And what did you think, Pam? Oh, did Pam have to?
No, I was just on mute.
I
was saying I have to agree that this one really did touch my heart. I thought it was a beautiful heartfelt write on his relationship with his partner, with his wife, and the imagery in this is stunning. The lines are emotive, and I like how he touches on love with the in the idea of the reality of life, how we you know, you start out with all this time together, and then you know you have kids, you have parents that get older. There's all these challenges and this busyness and chaos of life that can take up a lot of your time. And so I really like that he spoke on the idea of still finding that time to be together, but also wishing there was more. And I really like this all the way through, but it's definitely the second part that really spoke to me. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, wonderfully said there, Pam. Yeah, very, it is a heartfelt write and, you know, a very, yeah, you know, one that touches your heart and it's very, very sweet, right? And what did you think, Phil?
I thought this was a beautiful piece penned. And with Pam, I love the second part of this. Most flowers wither and fade as seasons change, but the wildflowers you planted deep in my heart continue to bloom year after year, despite aging parents and two kids in school and all those demands which drag my attention away from you. Yeah, but it doesn't matter because those seeds were planted deep and they bloom and they blossom and they hang on there. And I think that was just really well done. So I thought that it was love well expressed, Penn. So thank you for sharing with us very much, Just Michael. Mm-hmm. Nice piece.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Phil. And picking up the next, right? So thank you so much, Just Michael, and hope to see much more of you in our contests to come. My gracious, that was a beautiful, beautiful write. And the next one I have up is by Colap, and A Portrait of a Girl. And we do have a SoundCloud for that one.
Yeah. Okay, and here goes.
Wild Child, A Portrait of a Girl. Swept by wind and rain, spring child's tossed by tassels, her face is whipped by ears of wheat, blades of wild grass and rebel strands of hair, yet despite the challenges she plows through her path, avanti ragazza brava, back bent by the weight of a tempestuous past, but made bearable by pastel days, eyelids half closed to protect herself in the face of adversity. Though she had been loyal to her biggest dreams, some had turned out to be goose illusions, soaring before her eyes. Bygones will be bygones. If the breeze doesn't keep on blowing back the pages of memory, the rims of her dainty petals will barely billow under summer's breath. End the poem.
Oops, putting myself off mute and then on mute. What a beautiful piece, you know, on the portrait, a wild child, a portrait of a girl. And I thought that was such a becoming title, wild child, for that piece of art there, you know. And we can see the artwork in the poem, you know, when he says her face is whipped by ears of wheat, blades of wild grass and rebel strands of hair. I love that. And what did you think, Pam?
This has such beautiful and brilliant imagery, and she really captured the essence of the artwork, and yet told a bigger picture or a bigger story. Showed us the life of somebody who went through difficult times, and learned to dream those big dreams, to face those challenges, and to soar. And I really liked it all the way through, but I especially like the lines, yet despite the challenges, she plows through her path, and eyelids half closed to protect herself in the face of adversity, though she had been loyal to her biggest dreams. Some had turned out to be goose illusions. And that is so true. We have to go chasing after our dreams, because it's important that we learn whether or not there's something that's meant to be fulfilled or something that we eventually have to grow out of and realize that is not meant to be a part of our life. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Nice.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful comment there, Pam. And I was just looking up Avanti Ragazzi Brava means, and it's Italian, and it says something to do with brave. I can't seem to find it, but trying to look it up here. But I agree with you, Pam. You know, the courage. There's courage in this poem. The girl, young girl. We see the young girl. She's going forward. She paints quite a character, and that's what I like about this poem. You know, we really get to meet this character and almost like love this person that's created here in this poem. It's wonderful, right? And what did you think, Phil?
Well, you know, first off, I want to tell you, I looked at Google Translate, and it says, Avanti Ragazza Brava is forward girl good. That's what it says. I don't know.
Okay.
That's second sight.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought this was a wonderful piece here, full of wonderful imagery, beautiful interpretation of the prompt, I thought. The words really fit the image well. And I took it here, back bent by the weight of a tempestuous past, but made bearable by pastel days. Eyelids half closed to protect herself in the face of adversity. Though she had been loyal to her biggest dreams, some had turned out to be goose illusions. Taking flight, soaring before her eyes, bygones will be bygones. I just thought it was very well done. So nice work there, Rosanna, and thanks for sharing with us tonight. Yeah, I think that, I think it just fit the image well. So,
Absolutely, yeah. And it's what I was saying at the beginning there, really took the image and really exploited it well in the poem. It's really amazing. And the lines, the words too, you know, the descriptors are really well put in place, and it's a very beautiful piece. And so next up we have Mountig 25, Love Survival, and Pam, if you can give that one a read for us, please.
Absolutely. The breeze of romance wanders through wanton minds, yearning to harvest the pods of love's delicate blossoms, transporting them gently over the heart's protecting shroud, yearning to rest in wanting arms eager to spawn new love. The seeds of desire, allured by nurturing souls to rest in meadows of bliss, awaiting the blue skies, beams of hope to unbridled new love, new life, emerged the embryo of a new journey of romantic evolution as desperately the heart clutches its newfound reside, fate yet to test the resolve of love's new bloom. Time shall referee the desperation of the soul's eager survival. The fortitude and willing of new emotion can prevail. It must prevail, else the blooms of love will wither in fields of desperation and loneliness. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Pam. Love survival. I love that. You know, the love has to survive. You know, this states it in this poem here, and I'm loving where all this unique art is taking us tonight. You know, but you know, there's all these different ways that we're exploring here, and here where we have love and all its in all its beauty and all its different facets. I really like the seeds of desire allured by nurturing souls to rest in meadows of bliss, awaiting the blue sky's beams of hope to unbridle new love, new life. And so he really takes us on a, you know, like he says in the next line there, a journey of romantic evolution, and where, you know, love has to prevail over everything else. And, just wonderful, wonderful poetry, again, to go along with that artwork. And what did you think, Phil?
I think that I have to cough. Okay. I thought this was a very well-penned piece. I thought there were nice lines all throughout. And the ones that I grabbed were, the breeze of romance wanders through wanton minds, yearning to harvest the pods of a love's delicate blossoms, transporting them gently over the heart's protective shroud, yearning to rest in wanting arms, eager to spawn new love. The seeds of desire allured by nurturing souls to rest in meadows of bliss, awaiting the blue sky's beams of hope to unbridle new love and new life. I don't know. I thought it was well done, and I really enjoyed it. So, nice job, and thanks for sharing with us, MontyG.25.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful, I agree. Beautiful written piece indeed. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really liked this piece and the imagery and metaphors in it, and how it spoke on how love and passion have to go through an evolving process. And we have to accept that evolving process in order for it to grow, because if we don't accept that and we expect love to stand up to our expectations in a way that we're not willing to kind of, you know, bend and flow with the changing of the relationship, then it can be a very lonely and despairing life. I really particularly liked the lines, emerged the embryo of a new journey of romantic evolution as desperately the heart clutches its newfound reside, fate yet to test the resolve of love's new bloom. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam, and great observations, both of you. And it's wonderful poetry tonight so far. And the next poem we'll have up is by Opti. And, Phil, your turn to read, I guess.
Yes, I think it is. This is called The Truth. Smothered by life, to inhale that truth. Smell the roses, believe and be. Don't open your eyes, not allowed to see. There's a game afoot, you have a part to play, to exist with nothing to say. Your energy, manipulated in play. By who? By you. Indeed, because of you, agreed. Because you knew, you planned to cast yourself, to direct and find. The wonderment of being, the beauty of seeing, the intensity of feeling, and the knowing deep within, who and where you begin. End poem.
I really like this. You know, the truth is inside of you. You are the one that to discover it. You know, it's only you that can see it, that can drag it out, that can, you know, dig in and bring out your find that energy and play that part that is you. I really like this, the wonderment of being, the beauty of seeing, the intensity of feeling, and the knowing deep within who and where you begin. So, you know, the truth is getting to know yourself, and, you know, that takes a lot of time sometimes, you know, to know what you really like, what you really want, and of course, you always change over time. I think, you know, when you grow older, you that truth. I think that truth changes. You know, you don't want the same things. Sometimes you like everything else around us. We're evolving, human beings, and it's very thought-provoking piece I found, and it made me think a lot, you know. But self-discovery inside of ourselves, that's where it took me to. And what did you think, Phil?
I thought this was a great piece. I thought the thoughts were well expressed throughout, and the points were well made. And I grabbed at the first three stanzas. Smothered by life, to inhale that truth. Smell the roses, believe and be. Don't open your eyes, not allowed to see. There's a game afoot, you have a part to play, to exist with nothing to say. You are energy, manipulated in play. By who? By you, indeed, because you agreed. Because you knew the plan to cast yourself, to direct and find. You know, I probably should have just picked up the last two as well, just because it just keeps it cohesive. But I think that it was just a well-done piece. And as you said, it's food for thought, points to ponder, things to think about. And I think that that's what makes it so good, is because, you know, you stop and you think. And then you go, okay. You know, and it puts you into a thought process. And I like that. So, yes, so nice work. And thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Phil. And it is like you said, you know, very thought-provoking piece. I thought so too. And Pam's back. So what did you think, Pam?
Well, I really liked these lines and how he created the spacing in between with the third stanza, the dot, dot, dot. How, you know, it gives a sense of philosophical thought mixed with intense emotions. powerful lines and an excellent write on searching deep to find the truth of self and to figure out, you know, like, you know, there's a plan for your life, but you have to figure out, like, the part that you play in the plan. And I really like where he says, there's a game afoot. You have a part to play, to exist with nothing to say. You are energy manipulated and played. By who? By you, indeed, because you agreed, because you knew the plan to cast yourself direct and find the idea that you are what you make of yourself. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like that. You are what you make of yourself. That should be a slogan. Slogan by Pam Ray.
Slogan if I start selling tennis shoes.
Oh, God.
You'll be where you run to.
Yeah,
something like that. You know, I'll put up the next piece, but what I noticed with this contest, I have two pieces, and they both refer to Venice in the pieces, and I don't know about what it was about the artwork, especially that thought people made people think of Venice, of Venus, or yeah, I noticed that in the contest. So the next piece is by Blue Raven, Goodbye to Venice. And I guess it's my turn to read, eh? And it goes like this. Goodbye to Venice. Sea and sky merge, and Venice floats adrift on the horizon like an elusive dream. Early days of spring hold remnants of winter, chilly fog and mist that shroud the ghostly beauty of this fragile city. And I am here to say goodbye, my sadness unnoticed beneath the weeping sky. It is easier to depart on such a day, to leave Venice cloaked in clouds, not dazzling in sunlight on her mirrored lagoon. Leave her with only a whispered promise to return. End poem. And I like the nostalgic feeling in this piece. And I guess, yeah, you get that from the use of, you know, like I said, you know, when we started the show, there's like a dreamlike quality to the artwork of this artist. And I get that, you know, that kind of nostalgic feeling that you know, flows from the different color palettes of the artwork here, and that figure, you know, often the painter uses a figure of a person that's alone, just standing there, or, you know, centered in the middle of the artwork, and so I get that, you know, Venice, you know, a city of that you go to seek, I don't know, you know, like a love, or, you know, something about Venice. And, yeah, and better to leave when it's cloaked in clouds than, you know, a nice sunlit day. So I like this. I like this a lot. I liked where she took us in this poem. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this was absolutely beautiful. I love the personification of Venice and how it is used as saying goodbye to the city is like the sadness of saying goodbye to a relationship. But better to say goodbye when it's at its coldest and it's, you know, it's ugliest, even though I doubt Venice gets too horribly ugly, but, you know, still, but instead of at a time when it's at its most perfect and its most beautiful, absolutely amazing. It does have a nostalgic feel to it. Wonderful imagery. One line leads beautifully into the next. But I really like the second stanza where she says, early days of spring hold remnants of winter, chilly fog and mist that shroud the ghostly beauty of this fragile city. So wonderful lines and very well done.
I like that, you know, the way you pointed that out, like a metaphor for, you know, relationship, the city, leaving a relationship behind. And that's a great observation, Pam. Wonderful, wonderful comment. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought there was a lot of great imagery. I thought the first two stanzas nicely described Venice in early spring. But I have to say, I love the last three stanzas very much. I thought they were beautifully expressed. And I'm here to say goodbye. My sadness unnoticed beneath the weeping sky is easier to depart on such a day, to leave Venice cloaked in clouds, not dazzling in sunlight on her mirrored lagoon. Leave her with only a whispered promise to return. I thought that was just wonderfully worded, and I thought there was a lot of feeling and emotion in that. So I really enjoyed it. So nice job, and thank you very much, Blue Raven.
No, my first mute. My gracious. Oh, there we. And I said, I before the show, I said, I'm not going to put myself on mute. Not once are that. The mute button got me. And, it was an amazing write by Blue Raven indeed. And, so well done. So thanks so much, Blue Raven. And I have the next poem by Swan Song. And Pam, if you guess it's your turn to read.
All right. I walk slowly through a deep forest full of old trees leaning in random directions. Along the fern-covered floor, a small group of mountain orchids blossoms next to a pond that bears their purple and violet reflections. On one lone rock jutting above the surface of the still water, a frog sits and stares along the shallow shore. The wriggling tails of countless tadpoles flail in their feeding. In my simple wanderings and shallow thoughts, a small nuthatch perches on the branch of a large moss-covered branch, bending down from a grizzled fir tree with a dead hemlock leaning on the great bole. The bird flutters into the protective cover of the tree, and soon there is nothing but its trill, followed by another trill in another tree. In an old stump, red mushrooms have sprouted, and off in the distance, the raw song of a stream cascading over large rounded rocks. In all of this, everything is in place and as it should be. Even the ant's nest with its long column of workers returning with leaves and other insects in a long and complex line that is as simple as a thought. Patches of sun dapple the rays through the filtering canopy, and in the light, a ladybug takes flight from a cream-colored daisy, and a butterfly with orange and black wings finds refuge on a red huckleberry. All the aroma of living things drifts into me, the pine and the wild blossoms, keen air drifting down from snow-covered mountains, and even the musty scent of the dead and dying lingers into me in a welcome way. All this is an endless cycle of love that goes on in its mystical nurturance and home.
Oh, I really like this by Jeff, you know, by Swan Song. He wrote to the quote, nature shows us how to live, love, and grow alongside each other. And you see that in the poem, especially in that last stanza, which is so beautiful. You know, all the aroma of living things drift into me, the pine and the wild blossoms, clean air drifting down from snow-covered mountains, and even the musty scent of the dead and dying lingers into me in a welcome way. All this is an endless cycle of love that goes on in a mystical nurturance. It's just so vivid, this poetry is, his attention to detail. Oh my gracious, even to the frog, and the tadpoles there, and the frog sitting and staring, and all the little details that throughout the poem are just amazing. And his attention to color also, the creamy colored daisies, the butterfly with orange and black wings, the red huckleberry. I just love, when Jeff gives us a journey throughout nature. It's just amazing, amazing writer. And what did you think, Phil?
Well, I thought it was a surprise.
I muted myself throughout my comment. Stupid me.
I think this is wonderful imagery throughout, and I think he paints magnificent pictures with his words. Every stanza was beautifully and fabulous take on the prompt. And I pretty much gathered up the same, I took the same last stanza as you did, Naomi, to mention. And above that, I took the one, I took the other one above it, which is patches of sun dappled their rays through the filtering canopy, and in the light, a ladybug takes flight from the cream-colored daisy, which is also one you quoted. But I thought that they were just really wonderful. I thought this was just an excellent take on the prompt and very well done. So thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Beauty written across the page, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And what did you think, Pam?
Well, first of all, I have to say, I really miss ladybugs. All I get now is those horrible, nasty beetles that look like ladybugs, but stink and come into your house in the hundreds,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Man, those things are just horrible. Yeah, it is, absolutely. But, yeah, I have to say, and I know I said this before, but I just love Jeff's attention to detail when it comes to going to walks and nature, and how he takes us along with him. And wonderful imagery throughout, truly a treat for all the senses. I especially like the stanza that starts with the bird flutters into the protective cover of the tree, and soon there is nothing but it's trill, followed by another trill and another tree, and all that imagery throughout. And then how in the end he wraps it up with the mention of the cycle of life and death, and how it's all part of the mystical and nurturance of nature, and how it thrives and survives and grows. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, you almost have the song from The Lion King in this one,
yeah.
Eh?
I did. I just wasn't going to sing it out loud.
wonderful, wonderful comment, Sam. And wonderful, right, swan song. And I have our next one up for Phil, and I swear I'm not doing this on purpose, but
that's all right.
You're getting
I'm not
the
little
ones.
I'm not complaining. Not a bit. This piece is called I Wrapped Her by Vakachuk, and here we go. I wrapped her in roses and ribbons so I would know her, twirled her delicately, deliciously within the pavane of La Volpe. As I could show her, my heart as it burnished for her all alone before her abrupt departure transformed me to stone and foam.
Very powerful, the little brevity. I wrapped her in roses. You know, he gave her everything, all his love, everything, and still, you know, she left, you know, left him heartbroken. And yeah. But, you know, of course I say it like that, abruptly, but, you know, does have that word abrupt in the poem, but, you know, I say it so, you know, matter-of-factly, but, you know, he expresses it, or she expresses it, I don't know, but this poet is male or female, Chuck, so it's a male, Vaka Chuck, and, yeah, but he expresses it in such a delicate and beautiful language, deliciously within the pavane and la volte, as I could show her my heart as it burnished for her all alone before her abrupt departure transformed me to stone. And you know, that ending with the stone has an impact. You know, it's as if, you know, it's the end there. It's stone. It's transformed me to stone. There's nothing left there. You know, you just pulled out the heart and left him like, you know, dead inside. So just amazing, very powerful brevity indeed. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. So much emotion and so much said packed into only 44 words. And I like how this, he speaks on giving your all to somebody and then the unrequited love, the sacrifices that you make and then the rejection felt. And I thought that was especially a powerful end line, her abrupt departure transformed me to stone. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts.
I tell you, it costs extra for my thoughts. Just want you to know. I think this was a great piece. And, you know, sometimes no matter how much we give, someone will leave us anyway. And hardening our hearts until someone comes along to help us try again. I thought it was well worded and nicely expressed. So thank you, Chuck, very much for the write for tonight.
Wonderfully said there, Phil, and thank you. Yes, I add my thank you. Vaka Chuck. I wasn't gone that long, but I have quite some of these poets that I don't recognize, or they change their name, or I don't know, new poets for me tonight. But the next one I know, Ed Hunter, one of my co-hosts. So, Interweaving Bodies. I guess it's my turn to read. So, Interweaving Bodies. The winds spiraled through the mountains, speaking to him as the sun rose. During this time, he fought the winters with the northern hemisphere, waiting to hear her voice again. He remembers you as you were last fall, clasping his body like aerial roots and coral tendrils interweaving through a trellis frame. Her kiss was a delicious fruit that migrated to his lips. Everything was slow and peaceful, a warm ecstasy saturated with wine. Infinite embers captured their sweet fragrance with love. This will always be a divine memory. End poem. And what a wonderful, wonderful, powerful, nostalgic piece too. You know, he's looking back at this memory of, you know, this. It makes me think of a love, a quick love affair that didn't last too long. That just gave me the impression, but it was very impactful, you know. It was like a love affair that happened, but, you know, in a short amount of time, and it was very meaningful and very passionate. And, yeah, I remember Monday night we were reading a poem. I forget which one it was, but there was the word saturated in it. And I don't know who said it, that I think it was Barb Puddles 33 that said she wanted to use that word in a poem. And here, too, I like it. I like the use of it. You know, everything was slow and peaceful, a warm ecstasy saturated with wine. I think that word is just perfect right there. And wonderful, wonderful piece by Ed here. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I don't know. I was sitting here trying to pick up lines to move down, and I'm like, wow. And I'm having a heck of a time stopping. I really like this all the way through. There's a sweet beauty to it. I love how he starts out. The wind spiraled through the mountains, speaking to him as the sun rose. During this time, he fought the winters from the northern hemisphere, waiting to hear her voice again. He remembers you as you were last fall, clasping his body like aerial roots and coral tendrils interweaving through a trellis frame. And I think in those lines, the trellis frame, I think he captured the image very well. Her kiss was a delicious fruit that migrated to his lips. Everything was slow and peaceful, warm ecstasy saturated with wine. And then I hated to leave off the last three lines, but, you know, sometimes you have to draw the line somewhere. But it was a great piece, and I really liked it very much. There was a softness to it that I really enjoyed. But I do find that Ed Hunter has a lot of pieces like that. When he speaks on love or relationships, he tends to lean on that softer side, and I always appreciate that in his writes. So great job, Ed, and thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. Yeah, there is this softness, this tenderness to this piece that really speaks to you, you know, and yeah, really pulls you in, pulls at your heartstrings for sure. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is a beautiful and emotive write. I really enjoy and appreciate his use of nature imagery and metaphors throughout. And wonderful line. But I especially like, he remembers you as you were last fall, clasping his body like aerial roots and coral tendrils interweaving through a trellis frame. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And, yeah, so thank you, guys, for sticking it out on the board, Quicken and Robbie there. And hello, guys. And come join us if you want, you know. And with that... And with that, we're going to play a SoundCloud by our wonderful Puddles 33.
You got it. And here we go.
Soaked in Mother's Tears by Barb Christing. Mother's tears drop from heaven's sky, bloated with my sorrows, steel gray, galvanized against rusty flakes of bitterness that corrode my core. Drop by drop she infiltrates, patient, persistent, penetrating. No superficial comfort, she soaks in to my marrow, clings as a second skin to touch the pain within this shell. Inner current still, cease their ceaseless march to cliff's edge. Look away from the misty breach. Hold tight to what's in reach. A growing pool of nature's oils that heal and help me feel your love. my worth as I sit soaked in mother's tears.
Oh, wow. Well, what a great reading voice Barb has. You know, it's clear crystal when she reads, and it's so beautiful. And, yeah, it was a very emotive piece to me anyway, you know, that ending, you know, as I sit soaked in mother's tears, you know, sitting there, you know, with mother nature all around you, and it's soaking into your very core. Like she says, a growing pool of nature's oils that heal and help me feel your love, my worth, as I sit soaked in mother's tears. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, you know, ode to Mother Nature here, I think. And, yeah, you know, just like a kind of a hymn. Just beautiful. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is absolutely stunning all the way through. Amazing imagery, wonderful personification of nature. And I like how she speaks on the healing power of nature and the connection that we can find with it. And I especially like drop by drop, she infiltrates patient, persistent, penetrating, no superficial comfort. She soaks into my marrow, clings as a second skin, to touch the pain within this shell. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And thank you so, so much for the SoundCloud. So appreciate it. And what did you think, Phil?
This was really beautifully expressed all the way through. And a great take on the prompt. And the prompt she chose was, "Let what you need come and sit with you comfortably," by Harpreet M. Dayal. And I think that she really captured that, because, you know, this is really what it is. You know, she focuses, "Mother's tears drop from heaven's sky, bloated with my sorrows, steel gray galvanized against rusty flakes of bitterness that corrode my core. Drop by drop, she infiltrates." And really it is. It's just sitting there and letting it cleanse her, to take it away, to make her, you know, better in the end. I loved every line of this from beginning to end. You know, there's no picking and choosing here for me. I really enjoyed them all. I definitely enjoyed this last part. "In our current still cease their ceaseless march to close edge. Look away from the misty breach. Hold tight to what's in reach. A growing pool of nature's oils that heal and help me feel your love, my worth, as I sit soaked in mother's tears." I just thought it was a fabulous piece all the way through. So wonderful job, Barb, and thanks for sharing with us.
Absolutely. What a talented writer she is. And, you know, she always says that emotional impact in her writes, you know, this pulls you in and pulls at your heartstrings. So absolutely. Bravo. And and this is the second piece I was, you know, telling you about Venice and how it that artwork inspired Venice. And this is by Chris Shenry. And Pam, I guess it's your turn to read.
All right. "Alone in Venice," by Krishnary. "Alone I stood looking at Venice, almost as much as Friedrich's wanderer above a sea of fog. A haze slowly lifted as the light danced around the Santa Maria della Salute church. The warm summer breeze slowly licked away the last dark greenish traces of night. Distant memories floated in the vapor of loneliness, twisted, abandoned, empty gondolas, reminding me of that woman standing alone in the window somewhere. Then I thought of you, of that damned rainy morning dawn, asking why then our lonelinesses had to be the same split up and poem.
Wonderful read there. And I love this, you know why? Because Wander Above a Sea of Fog was one of the names of one of the this artist's expositions that he had. And I love that this poet went and did the research and included that into the poem, Wander Above a Sea of Fog. And so that was, you know, the one of the expositions of this artist. And yeah, and one of the inspirations for the artist. And Santa Maria della Salute Church also, you know, I like that reference there. And yeah, you know, the just again that nostalgic feeling that's in this poem all the way through, that woman standing alone in the window somewhere. I said often, the artist, you know, he peels away the pieces of paint and he leaves a silhouette or a personage alone in the painting. So we see that in the poem here. So yeah, you know, I really appreciate that they took the time to do the research in there. And this is a wonderful, wonderful write. And what did you think, Phil?
Well, it's funny because you mentioned, have both of them mentioned Venice. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think they both actually looked at the same image as well. This one is prompt two, and I think, if I remember correctly, that Blue Ravens was as well, which I think is kind of interesting. And yeah, it is pretty cool that they went and found Wander Above the Sea of Fog. I thought that was a nice touch as well. But yes, let me see now. I don't know. I just thought it was just, I thought it was very well done. I have to say I liked it from here. Alone I stood looking at Venice, almost as much as Friedrich's Wanderer above a sea of fog. A haze slowly lifted as the light danced around the Santa Maria della Salute church. The warm summer breeze slowly licked away the last dark greenish traces of night. Distant memories floated in the vapor of loneliness. I don't know. I thought it was just really, it was well done. It had a nice quality about it. It wasn't so much about the image as it was the feeling that the image brought forth, if that makes sense. It doesn't have to do with, you know, talking about the image and what was going on in it. This is just what brought to mind for this person. And I think that it's very well written and nicely done. Yes. So great job. And thank you so much for sharing, Chris Henry. Nice job.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Phil. And great observations. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, I have to say that I was looking at pictures of Venice, and there is actually a famous church in Venice. I forget what it's called. It might be the one mentioned in this poem that has that kind of rounded roof with the cross on top. So I think when people are writing about Venice and they look at this picture, they're looking at not only the fact that it looks like a city right next to water with kind of watery, dreamy quality to it, but also the shape of the rooftops, particularly the two buildings that stand out the most. So I could be wrong about that, but from looking at actual pictures of Venice, that's kind of the impression I get. But this one has such amazing, amazing imagery and metaphor throughout. Beautiful imagery, powerful, heartfelt lines, an excellent write on haunting memories of a love that fell apart. And I really like how haunted it felt when they wrote the lines, the warm summer breeze slowly licked away the last dark greenish traces of light, distant memories floated in the vapor of loneliness, twisted, abandoned, empty, gondolas. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And yeah, I'm glad that you took the time to look up Venice, and could very well be. There has to be, a reason. And I think you're spot on there, with that the little pieces of architecture that you see, and also, the water and everything. So yeah, I think you're spot on with that. So it's amazing that you pointed that out. Thank you.
Been a slightly longer poem, I would have taken time to get on my private jet, flown to Venice, and
just make sure. So funny. And that would have had to be an awesome long poem. Well, with a private jet. hurry up. Motors to the floor. I'm going to have another SoundCloud up, this time by Titus. And so whenever you're ready.
Okay, here goes.
Eat your beautiful traits. Long forgotten was it not, to reprimand the past, given this bearing, here among poets who cared enough to understand the meaning of the word love, it sung to sleep my loneliness. Then afterwards we care enough to understand the flaws, to right the wrongs, make do, the birds would sing, to bring the timeline that was to illustrate the writing style that women from the 18th century do employ. Sanguinity and merriment, this domain, the beauty through her words I do enjoy. How virtuous a task, yet able not to mask the full intent, the metaphor 'twas meant to elude, or if include, then should I ask, politely so, for feedback one has lent. Alleviate with balm this charm offensive, when in fact fully not too obscure oneself to return one day. Well, this is how I live, a troubadour who simply compels a wealth of words, the equerry to harem a vain aim it would impeach upon rudeness to some. Dispel the theory that all men are the same, enlightens not, whereby the rule of thumb, but a man who, like the fool, did long ago fall in love with what she could have said, he would appear cognitively more the beau, had he led these women on, 'twill have led to no end of pain and suffering, although words and women favoured by God's alt wine, women and song. I can compare God's mindful sobriety and a private thought.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Titus, for the SoundCloud. And, I look at Titus, I have to say this because, I look at Titus' picture and, he looks so young on that picture. And, he seems speaking such a mature voice. I don't know that the picture doesn't fit. This is a poetry, but, it's a wonderful picture, very handsome man. But, I really like it always has a classical feeling to his poetry. And, I read a bit before the show, and, this was like a dedication to all the women on all the poetry, and, the writing. And, I really like that he did that. And I love the word troubadour, and you know, a troubadour. I don't know how you say it in English, but I like that word in there, you know, and such a such beautiful language all the way through. And I think he just illustrates, you know, just the beautifulness of writing here. You know, just amazing the way he compares it to the birds would sing to bring the timeline that was to illustrate the writing style that women from the 18th century do employ. You know, not all women write the same, of course, but, you know, he does take us back to that 18th century where women had this, I guess they did have this, you know, this writing style. And so I really liked this all the way through. What did you think, Pam?
Well, I will say that troubadour is actually one of those rare words in English that we pronounce fairly close to, I think, the French pronunciation. It's just that our accents are so much different.
Yeah, when you said it, it sounded quite similar, yeah.
Yep. The only thing, yeah, obviously, for me, my Wisconsin accent comes through. Yeah, I thought this had a wonderful classic feel to it, beautiful lines, wonderful intelligent thought throughout, and an excellent write on the beauty of the feminine spirit and the beautiful expression of poetry. And I especially like alleviate with balm this charm offensive when in fact fully not to obscure oneself to return one day. Well, this is how I live, a troubadour who simply compels a wealth of words. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think Titus did a great job with this, as he does so many of his pieces. It always has that classic feel to it. I thought the emotions were well expressed. And I liked the whole piece all the way through. I really did. But instead of grabbing the whole piece, we're grabbing half of the piece. I pulled these lines out. But a man who liked the fool did long ago fall in love with what she could have said. He would appear cognitively more the beau had he led these women on, 'twill have led to no end of pain and suffering, although words of women, words and women favored by gods, what wine, women, and song? I can compare God's mindful sobriety with a private thought. That was a neat ending line in this piece, and I really I liked it very much. So great lines all the way through, Titus, and thank you for sharing with us. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And there's a, you know, if I take the artwork and I take the poem, there's like this elegance in that artwork that I find that matches, that mirrors the elegance of the writing. Then that way, you know, a great take on that prompt for sure. And with that, so thank you so much, Titus. That was so appreciated. And I have one by Vamped Vixen. And Phil, I do believe it's your turn to read.
Okie dokie. Let's see what I can do here. Folklore by Vamped Vixen. Fairy lights glow on winter night, cozy in bed with tea, snuggled in a blanket nest as candles flicker, waltzing free. Rustic sunset in poppy red, a marigold harvest above the trees, the last stray light of a fading day's tranquility as fog rolls in across the meadow, tucking the earth in for sleep. Honeybees in their hive, squirrels slumbering in birch and oak as agile fingers press wildflower from an afternoon's foraging onto vintage scrapbook photographs, a homegrown garden of memories pasted between bites of savored apple pie as candle tapers drip and wan. Oh, to walk quaint cobblestones of the cottage core life, tiptoe sun-kissed pumpkin patches, and sit beside a cozy fireside hearth, sinking into familiar shabby chic, the kind I see in magazines. But I have never known that piece and the poem.
Yeah, I like this, you know, where the inspiration from that artwork. Yeah, she looks like she's in a country, in a field there. And, you know, the round, like yellowish. Yeah, like she's in a patchwork of, what was it, pumpkins? What was it? Wildflowers and apple pie and pumpkin patches. Yeah, there you go. And, you can just feel that meadowy feeling, that country feeling, you know. I think there was a great capture of the artwork here. I really love this. And, you know, just the feeling, the serenity that you get off this piece. I rent cottages a lot. You know, I'm a crazy cottage woman. And, and I'm always looking for the next new cottage that I'm actually going to one in 3 weeks' time. So I get this whole poem really spoke to me, you know, everything from the shabby cheek to the cozy fireside hearth to the everything, the apple pie, the candle tapers dripping wand, the scrapbook photographs there. This is just coziness all written into these lines there. Just leaves you with a cozy feeling. And so well written. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this has such beautiful and wonderful imagery throughout. A treat for all the senses. I like the way with the end line she abruptly turns things around to change the meaning of the poem, and you realize it's all about those dreams of those things that the heart longs for but does not have. And I especially like the imagery of rustic sunset and poppy red, a marigold harvest above the trees, the last stray light of a fading day's tranquility as fog rolls in across the meadow, tucking the earth in for sleep. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely, wonderfully said. Yeah, I like that too. Rustic sunset in poppy red, isn't that beautiful? Beautiful way to describe a sunset. And even brought in the honeybees and their hives and the squirrels slumbering in birch and oak. Wonderful, wonderful descriptors all through this poem. Wonderful image. Like you said, Pam, delight for all the senses. And what did you think, Phil? Hello, Phil?
Yes, yes. Oops. I actually thought I had already commented, so hang on a second. Oh, here I am. I thought it was a well-penned work. There's wonderful imagery throughout the piece. So it was a great take on the prompt. And I really enjoyed the feel of the work itself because it did. It was a feeling you got as you read it. I think Pam touched note on that, where you get a sense of it, you know, and it just kind of puts you in that place. I thought it was just well done. It's the best I can say because otherwise I'll get all mixed up. But Van Vixen, this is a great piece, and thanks for sharing. It's nice to see your work again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we missed her, missed him. I think it's a girl, eh? Not sure. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, you know, talented poet. And we've had so many tonight, amazing, amazing poetry. And and the next one up, Robert J. Tice, another very talented poet, Against the Silence. And whose turn is it to read? Is it my turn? I guess so. against the silence. At least the wind is listening and gladly takes my pages when I'm ready to surrender them. There were fiery times I simmered in the inattentions, disregard, indifference to earnest verse. When vanity would rack my soul and dare me to cast off the rest of everything I ever penned so I could watch my writings fly and pirouette in diving light before they vanished with the night. Now, I still question days I chased through feverish seasons after thoughts, long quests for meaning, metaphor, some rhyme or rhythm in a thing, significance, profundity, a lyric like a lark to sing. But there I strove for love or truth, for that I breathe my final word, where there once chance I might be heard. End poem. What a beautiful, wonderful, you know, amazing write by Robert J. Tice here. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. I always enjoy and appreciate his poetry. Such thoughtful and heartfelt lines. I like how he speaks on personal growth and artistic expression, the importance of opening up the mind in order to allow that artistic expression to come forth from the heart. Wonderful lines throughout, but I especially like when vanity would rack my soul and dare me to cast off the rest of everything I ever penned, so I would watch my writings fly and pirouette in diving light before they vanished with the night. Now I still question days I chase through feverish seasons, afterthoughts, long quests for meaning, metaphor. I like how that speaks on growth as a person and growth as a poet. So excellent write and very well done.
I like that observation. Yes, growth as a person and growth as a poet. And I guess, you know, they both grow together, right? You know, doesn't go without the other, you know. As you grow, so does your poetry change and evolve and writing. So, yeah, amazing observation there, Pam, amazing comment. And Phil, your thoughts.
I really like this piece very much. And I have to say that I thought this was a fabulous take on the chosen prompt. I had to go over and look because it just made perfect sense. And his very first stanza, at least the wind is listening and gladly takes my pages when I'm ready to surrender them. That right there just captured the prompt beautifully. And I love his take on the poetry all the way through. When vanity would rack my soul and dare me to cast off the rest of everything I ever penned, so I watch my writings fly in pirouette and diving light before they vanished with the night. And then, you know, it just goes on about, you know, meaning and metaphor and rhyme and rhythm. I love the piece. I really do. I think that it was so well put together and very nicely said. So, excellent piece, Robert, and thank you so much for sharing with us. I really like this one a lot.
Yeah, me too. I just went over and checked what the prompt was, and I agree. So it goes so well with that prompt, that man standing there and the leaves of paper floating away.
Yeah,
spot on. Amazing. Amazing job, Robert J. Tice. And this is going to be our last poem anyway. I don't know, for the night, or, well, depends what our commenting and how long it is. But this is the last poem on the board for tonight. So I guess, Pam, it's your turn to read.
All right. This is Approach Me From Above by Captain Kirk. You named me to the skies of red-tailed hawks that lift on wings and soar in guided flight, when autumn clouds compete in gold and gray, when fuller moons arise on silvered air, in courting swoops approach me from above, and circle slow the sweet prize that you crave, then steeply dive in catastrophic fall, extend your legs and touch what awaits below. Through rifts and currents let the surge clouds, beholders of aggrandizing rains, watch us plummet round in spiraling balls, then pull away before we strike the ground. In ceremonial plumage dress me, and fly like shadows beneath the pale, to nest on high and hear the valley speak, and wake within the golden arms of dawn. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Pam. And yeah, I went to see what that prompt was, and the face of a girl there in the middle with a bird on top and leaves just floating, seems to be, floating, and her hair floating around her face. And and I think, the poet Captain Kerr, he caught the image so beautiful. Oh, the image is right there. The stupid me. So I went back to see what the image was, and it's right there on the poem. Oh, boy. Okay. Getting late, Naomi. And, so he really captured the prompt so well. And, I think this talks about, how it could be a poet, it could be any kind of artist, or it could be just, a person, and how our mind just floats around, and our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts, just circulate, and that's what I got from it. And how they can impact us, and just how your thoughts just inhabit you, and like a spiraling effect. And what did you think, Phil? Miss Phil?
I did it again. I didn't even mean to. Wonderful imagery, and I thought that the thoughts in this were so well expressed. Each stanza was well done. It was another one of those where I'm looking, I'm going, should I take that one too? And I'm like, no, you can't take them all. I keep trying to get myself out of that habit. I only do it on occasion. But remind me to the skies of red-tailed hawks that lift on wings and soar in guided flight, when autumn clouds compete with gold and gray, when fuller moons arise on silvered air, and courting swoops approach me from above, and circle slow with the sweet prize that you crave, then steeply dive in catastrophic fall, extend your legs and touch what waits below. I thought those two stanzas to start off with were really well done. It gives you that sense, it has the hawk from the image and the leaves, the autumn clouds, automatically you think of the colors of autumn, the golds and the grays and the leaves swirling. So it all pulls together nicely in this. I think it was just really nicely done. So, nicely penned and much enjoyed. That's what I'm going to say.
Beautiful, beautiful imagery all the way through this, right? And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this definitely had beautiful imagery, stunning imagery and metaphors. The first time I read it, I thought of the idea of the desire to let the mind soar. But when reading it out loud and looking at it, I definitely saw an undertone of sensuality, especially within that stanza that still quoted, within the beauty and sensuality of the courting ritual of two hawks being a metaphor for two lovers. And I really liked that, and I really liked, in ceremonial plumage dress me and fly like shadow beneath the pale, to nest on high and hear the valley speak and wake within the golden arms of dawn. Wonderful lines on waking up to a brand new day, but also waking up, you know, next to somebody in those, in within their arms. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do see that all the sensuality in this piece now that you mentioned it. So a great observation there, Pam. And wow, what amazing poems we've had tonight. I'm so happy that the way the art inspired everybody. And, you know, I'm so happy I chose this artist, you know.
Yeah.
Really, really happy. And this has been a great, great night of poems and poetry and comments, and so happy to be with you too, Phil and Pam. Just wonderful evening spent, and thank you so much for the guys that hung on the board, and thank you so much for everybody who wrote for the contest. And just remind everybody, join us for Art of Seduction with me and Pam tomorrow night, where we delve into, my memory is it food? Is it the food one tomorrow night,
it
Pam?
It is the food tomorrow night.
Hey, ladies, I want to let you know that I do understand that the third time's a charm. So it's a good
That's
chance
what
it
I'm here.
Off. Naomi was a great show tonight. Good spending time with you ladies. Thank you to Robbie and to Quicken for hanging on the board. And I hope everybody has a great night. Thanks.
Yeah, indeed. Good night, everybody.
Good night, honey.